Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Yud Tes. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah that opened up this perek lo yachbar, talking about the halachas that a person has to distance things even in his own chatzar that shouldn't cause any harm to his friend's chatzar, to things in his person, for example, the boyer in his friend's courtyard. So one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah was v'loy nevrechas hakleivson, and neither is he allowed to make a launderer's pool, unless if he distances three tefachim from his friends, the wall of his friend's pit. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravu, he qualifies this halacha and he says, Leishan, we didn't learn this halacha ele min hamachamtza. Because there's actually two types of pools that the launderer used to clean clothing. This halacha the Mishnah is talking about, the pool where they would soak the clothing for a day or two in dog excrement, until that's where the term machamtza from chimutz, where it ferments and it putrefies, that's actually part of the laundering process. It's regarding that pool that the Mishnah says you have to distance three tefachim. Avlamin hanadyun. But from the other pool, which is called nadyun, from the word of nundal nud, which means that it moves, that's the pool that the laundry would use to scrub and to clean. There, because the water is shaking, it sprays to a distance, then you actually have to distance it a dalad amas. Then it's not enough just to distance that pool where it's just the moisture of the water that's there that could cause harm, that you need only three tefachim. Here, since the water is splashing, you need a distance up to an area of four amas. Says the Gemara Tanam Hachi, we learned in the Braisa the way Rabbi Baravua says, that Nevrechas HaKlevsin, the laundress pool, has to be dalad amas. Now, ask the Gemara, and this is how the Gemara is illustrating his halacha, but Vanan Tanan Gimel Tvachim, we're not Mishnah, not four amas, but rather only three Tvachim. Allah Shabbat, rather we can infer from that, Kidr of Nachman, that which is again this halacha that yes, four amas is from Nadyan, but the halacha of the Mishnah is talking about the Mechamtsin. Now, Veikad Duramir Lo Mirma, those who actually said this halacha based on the contradiction. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Nevrechas HaKlevsin Gimel Tvachim, that the laundry's pool has to be distanced only three Tvachim. But when the Braisa says Arba Amas, which is much more than that, there's six Tvachim and one Amma. Here it's four Amas. And then Amram Nachem, Amram Abavu, it was said in the way of a contradiction. He comes to resolve and he says, Loi Kasha, it's not difficult. Kan min HaMachamtsin, kan min HaNajin. The Mishnah is talking about from the Chamtsin pool, which is only three Tvachim. But here in the Braisa, it's talking about from the Najin, which is four Amas. Now, Rav Chiya Bered Rav Avya, Maskin Lo Behedya, he actually learned it in the text of the Tanoim explicitly like this, that the text said, Elam kin hirchik misvas mechamtsin ulekoitzu gemat tfachim, unless if he distances from the edge of the mechamtsin pool to the wall, three tfachim, that's how much you need, where it said explicitly from the mechamtsin. But again, as the Braisa said, but regarding the other laundry's pool from the Nadyan, that you need to have four amas. After the Mishnah had the Reish and Mitzyasa, Seif had different categories that it spoke about. After the first bunch that it spoke about, that one is not allowed to dig a pit in his boundaries or a stream or have this case that we just discussed before regarding the laundry's pool, regarding all these things, unless you distance three tefachim. And then the Mishnah said, and moreover, v'sad besid, and that you also plaster it with lime. Now, actually, the Gemara asked it in a question. Ibayilu, the following question. Vesad besitanan, what's the correct girsa in our Mishnah? Was it that not only do you have to distance this thing that you're digging three tefachim, but you also have to then plaster the guy's wall that it doesn't cause any harm? Idima isad besitanan, or maybe the girsa in our Mishnah is, or you can plaster his wall, meaning it's either one or the other. Either distance what you're making three tefachim, or plaster his wall, which again will protect from the elements that you have over here that's moisture, either one. Is it both or either or? Says the Gemara, Pshita de Besad Besitana. So the Gemara says, obvious that it's both. Why? Because if you think the Girsa in our Mishnah is saying either or, either distance is three tefachim, or even if you're going to do it closer, you could plaster his wall. Then it came, but if that would be the case, then Arvinu, then let the Mishnah mix the two different categories of our Mishnah, which is the one we talk about, the Reisha, and the next one called the Mitzias, and the middle one, Vilisninu, and teach them both together. Because there, it's explicitly in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says regarding that second category, that either distance it or isad besit. So from the fact, says the Gemara, that it's not mixed together, why did it say it as a separate category? Because obviously the ratio was saying that, no, it's a higher level. You need a distances and visad besit, and that you need to have it plastered with lime, where you need both, and that's why I didn't say it together with the middle category. And that says the Gemara, no raya. Dilma may be the reason why it wasn't mixed together, even though it could be either or. Is Mashum Dali Dami Hai Hazek or Hai Hazek? Is because there are different categories of damages. Because Reisha Hazeka de Mesuna. The Reisha, the first category, the laundry's pool, the stream, all those things are talking about things of moisture, of wet. That's why they cause harm to the guy's wall. Sefer Hazeka de Havla. The next category is talking about something totally different. It's talking about harm that comes from heat, where they generate heat, and that's why he was in a separate category. But not to say that Divan Lachas. Maybe it's Oysad Basid. Maybe he needed to do either one or the other and not both. So the Mishnah says, Toshma, let's bring a different raya from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Huda Aimah, he says the following halach. He says, Sela Babi Yadayim, regarding earth, which could be picked up with one's hands, very soft soil. So the halach is, Zechayf Abari Mekan, this guy could dig a pit on his side of the boundary. Zechayf Abari Mekan and his friend, his neighbor, could dig a pit on his side of the boundary. But, Zemarchikim Mutfachim, Besad Besid, but this guy who is digging on his side has to at least distance it 3 tfachim from that guy's wall and plaster it with lime. And this guy also has to distance it 3 tfachim from the boundary and plaster it with lime. Says the Gemara, the inference from this halacha is time of the babi yadayim. The reason why it has such a stringency that you have to do both distance and plaster with lime, it seems like from the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, is only because it's very soft earth, where therefore it could definitely cause easier harm to the elements that are in its proximity. But it sounds like if it was regular earth, it wasn't this especially soft type of earth, then you wouldn't need to have both distancing and plastering the wall. That it's oi, either one or the other. So that would seem to answer our question that the loch of our Mishnah Basad Basid is oi Sad Basid. And that says the Gemara, no. Hu adin the afagav the leboy b'yadayim nami Sad Basid. The truth is that the loch of this Brais Rabbi Huda would apply of doing both distancing and plastering with lime is even if it's not earth that's extra soft. So why does it mention then that in the case of Babi Yadayim, if the stringency applies even if it's not Babi Yadayim, even if it's not extra special soft earth? And that says the Gemara, because Babi Yadayim Istrachle, it was necessary for the Tana, for Rabbi Huda to mention specifically that case, even though the halacha would apply even when it's not Babi Yadayim, because I would think I need it for the other side. What do you mean? I would have thought to say, since it's very soft earth, that it wouldn't be enough for, yes, in general, you need to have both stringencies. You need a distance of 3 tefachim and you need a plaster with lime. But I would think that it's, since it's extra soft earth, that you would need to have distance it even more than 3 tefachim. You would need more space. That's the chiddush in the other direction, that no, even though it's babi yadayim, you don't need more than both the stringencies, but it's not a proof the other way around. It could be that for even regular earth, you need to have 3 tefachim and sad besed and plaster with lime. There is no raya either one way or the other, if it's a sad besed or besad besed. Now the Mishnah said, continuing on to the next category, that marchikin es agefes, a person has to distance, even though it's in his own property, but he has to distance the refuse of olives, Vesa zevel and fertilizer, vesa melech and salt, and the girsa leaves out here, vesa sid and lime, vesa slum, and these flint rocks, vahulu, etc., where, because they generate heat, so they could cause harm to the guy's wall, so you have to distance it 3 tfachim, or sud besid. Now, that the Gemara says the following question. Tzan hasim, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that seems to be talking about the same type of category, about things that generate heat, and there's a discrepancy. The Mishnah there says, bamed taimnin, regarding with what things can one insulate warm things for Shabbos, where the Rabbanan said that it's forbidden to do what's called hatmana, to insulate things that could increase and generate heat. Now, the Gemara there explains the reason is because you might end up doing insulating with something that has coals in it, because that generates heat. And if you do that, then on Shabbos you might come to be stoke those coals, which would then be a issur d'oraisa of havara, so therefore they decree that you're not allowed to ever do hatmana, insulate with anything that generates heat. So on that, as the Mishnah, so with what are you allowed to insulate ubama in temna? With what are you not allowed to insulate? So in other words, the Mishnah is basically describing what are things that generate heat and what are things that don't generate heat. In temna, so you're not allowed to insulate with the following things because they generate heat. And again, that runs into the concern. You might use remets, which are coals, and you might come to stoke it. So therefore, you're not allowed to use anything that generates heat. Is le begefes, not with olive refuse. Believe a zevel, not with fertilizer, believe a melech, not with salt, believe a sid, not with lime, believe a choil, and not with sand. Bein lachin, bein yevashin, whether they're moist or whether they're dry, it doesn't make a difference. It still has, it generates heat, and therefore it's problematic. That asks the Gemara, Maishna hocha de gitani sloyim, why is it that by our Mishnah, when we're describing things that generate heat, and there you have to distance it from your friend's wall, from the neighbor, 3 tfachim, or plaster with lime, we mentioned these flint rocks, and we don't mention sand, which is mentioned over there in that Mishnah of things that generate heat. And the other way is also difficult. Why over there did it mention sand and didn't mention rocks? Why do we have this discrepancy? So Amar Yisuv, he says, Lefishin darkin shel b'nei adam lahatmin b'slam. He says, he answers part of the question, why the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos doesn't talk about flint rocks which generate heat, that although it is a dav ha-maisiv hevel, but since it's not normal for a person to insulate with these rocks, because as Taisa says, since the air will escape from between the space of the rocks, so it will not maintain the heat, although sometimes the people would be matman, but that's why it's not mentioned over there in that Mishnah, because it's not one of the regular items that a person uses to insulate, because although it generates heat, but there are ear pockets that it'll escape from. Now, that Amalei Abaye asked Rav Yosef, what? So you tell me it didn't mention it because it's not normative for a person to use it for atmana? But v'chidarkin shel b'nei adam lahatman b'gizei tzemer, what, you think it's normal for people to insulate with shearings of wool or l'shoyne shel gamon, or what's called the tongues of purple wool, where it's dyed wool, where they would go and they would smooth out with a comb and make it into these tongues. So do you think it's normal for people to go ahead and insulate food items with these shearings of wool? And yet, that's what Abai asks, yet still, the Rabbani go ahead and mention it. The time I've learned the Braisa that says clearly these cases. Taimnim begizei tzemer, a person is allowed to insulate with shearings of wool, or ubitzifei tzemer, which is after that it's combed and it's spread out the wool through the combing, or with these tongues of these purple wool, uvamuchen, which are these worn-out type of garments when it gets combed, so some of the garment comes out by the combing with these combs, which were thorns. So you could take those shearings, those pieces of wool, and you could insulate with them. But ve'imetatlan leisan. But however, that's a side halacha that you're not allowed to move those pieces of wool because they're muktzah, they're set aside for working with garments. Although, regards to halacha of hatmana, there's no violation because not it can increase any and generate any heat, but it's still problematic for the rabbanan, the isad rabban of muktzah, because it's set aside for non-Shabbos type of utility. So, but on that, as Abaya, these items that the Bryce is discussing regarding its permissibility of Atmana are not things that people normally do use. And still, the Bryce mentions them. So why wouldn't it mention Sloim? Although people don't usually use it, it doesn't make a difference. You see that the Bryce and the Tanoim mention things that are permissible or forbidden, even if it's not normative to be used. So why doesn't Tan the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos mention Sloim, which we see in our Mishnah, are things that generate heat? Elam Abaya, rather, Abaya gives a different interpretation to resolve this question. He says, quoting a pasuk in Iyev, Yagit Olav Reyeh, that his friend will tell regarding him. Meaning, from his friend, you can know about him. What does that mean? Tana Hacha Slaim, V'huadin L'chel. You're right. We don't have to say every single case. Our Mishnah mentions regarding generating heat, which is forbidden because of the halachas of neighbors, is the same thing applies to sand. And Tana Hacha L'chel, V'huadin L'chel. They were talking about sand. Same thing applies to flint rock. I mean, we know things that generate heat. We just give a bunch of examples. But from our Mishnah, you learn to that Mishnah, and that Mishnah, you learn from our Mishnah. Now, that Amalei Rava asked Habai. He says, Iyagad Lavreya, if you're coming to me from that logic of that, yeah, you learn from each Mishnah, but then Lisninu Likulu, then you should have said all these halachas of things that generate heat, Bechada, in one of the Mishnahis, either here in our Mesechna Baba Bas, or over there regarding the halachas of Shabbos, but listen, Chadim and I be either, and let them say all the halachas by one of them, and then we would know, and we just compare that to the other one. Why, if it's Yagad Lavreya, do most of the cases we are redundant by both? And then we have this discrepancy. You say, oh, regarding that, Yagur Lav Reyeh. Why? Say them all by, let's say, Shabbos. And we'll just say, Babal Basra, the same halachas apply like over there. Elamar Rava rather gives his own interpretation. He says, Hasam Hainu Taimu Dloikotani Slam. He says, the reason why it doesn't say over there, Mesech the Shabbos, regarding the prohibition of being matmen with Slam, which are Mace of Hevel, is Meshum de Meshashi Lolikadera, is because, as Rashi says, although generally the word Meshashi usually means to say that it rusts. In this context, it means that it's going to break the pot because it's rocks. So therefore, it's not going to be mentioned in things that are forbidden, although it's Maisav Hevel, because no one uses it to insulate with, because it's going to break the pot. They would, generally, theirs were made out of earthenware and rocks with it. It's just going to shatter it. No, so that's why it doesn't say Shlom over there. And Hacha Hainu Tamid L'Ketan Nechel, and why in our Mishnah didn't we say that you're not allowed to have sand next to the guy's wall, 3 Tvachim, if it's something that generates heat? It's Meshum De Mechami Mechayim. Something very unique about sand is that when you put in the sand something hot, then it heats it up. And therefore, by Masechta Shabbos, when you're doing Hatamana, which is insulating, you're putting in something hot, and then these are things that you're insulating that could actually generate more heat. And sand could do that when it's insulating something hot. But regarding a wall that it's near, a wall is cold. Something cold, actually sand, is cool too. So that's why it can't be used in our context over here, because here it's not insulating something warm. It's actually something cold. So even the sand is not going to be detrimental to the wall. And that's why it doesn't mention sand over here in our Masechta. Now, however, the Gemara asks on Rava and says, but Vatani Rebaishya. Rebaishya, when he taught in his Braisa, the halachas of our Mishnah being Marchi, that you have to distance things that generate heat, one of the cases is Chayil, and mentions sand by it. So you see that sand is something that would be problematic of generating heat, even in regards to a wall. And that says the Gemara, no, Hasan bin Masuna. When Rebaishya mentioned the case of sand, he didn't mention it by those of because of heat. Actually mentioned by those that are damaged because of moisture. And we're talking about moist sand. Moist sand, just like all the other cases of the laundry's pool and the stream, which caused damage because of moisture, that's where he mentioned the case of sand. No, that the Gemara asks, the Tanya did not nami listeni. So let our Tanya of our Mishnah also mention sand. For the Kamu b'Masuna mentioned it by the case of moisture. So we understand why he doesn't mention the sand by the case of heat, because it doesn't generate heat when it's regarding a cold thing. But it should have said it by the cases of moisture. And that the Gemara says, no hatanya li'amasamayim. We don't need another case. We already mentioned a stream of water, which is moisture that causes damage to the wall. We don't have to say another case of moist sand. Now, that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Atumi lekatani amasamayim. Well, didn't we say many cases of moisture? We said one case of the stream of water. But katani nevrechas akayis, and I also mentioned the case of the laundry's pool. Those are also the same thing. So why wouldn't you add another case of the moist sand? That the Gemara says, no, hanetzrichi. Really, if we already said the concept, we don't have to say every case of something wet and moist. Why'd we mention both those cases of the stream of water and the laundry's pool? That's necessary. Because the itan amasamayim, had we only said the case of the stream of water, we would say that that's problematic. You have to distance it 3 tvachim from the kaviyah, because that's something that's permanent. Avan amrechas hakayisim, but a laundry's pool, delay kaviyah, it's not permanent. In other words, it's not as permanent as a stream of water, because a stream of water is meant to be there forever. But the laundry's pool, sometimes he changes profession, and he's not going to keep it. He's going to dig it, he's going to cover it over and fill it up with earth. So since it's not permanent, emoloi, I would say that there you don't have to distance the 3 tvachim. That's what we have to say the case of Nebrechas HaKaifsen. Now, if Yitan Nebrechas HaKaifsen, had we only said the case of the laundry's pool, I would say Mishum the Kovi V'Kaimi, because it gathered and it stays, it's stagnant water, and that type of moisture is more harmful than live water, which is constantly running, which is not just sitting in one place. And therefore, Avala Abmas HaMayim Loi, but rather by the stream of water, I would say that actually that's not as detrimental as a pool of water that's just sitting there, and you wouldn't have to distance 3 tvachim. So Tzrichi, that's what I have to say both these cases, but again, that's why the Talmud of Mishnah doesn't mention the moist sand, because we already know it from these halachas, in contrast to Rabbi Yishu, who does mention it in his Braisa. But again, that resolves the question that Rav was coming to answer regarding our Mishnah doesn't mention sand because it doesn't heat up something that's cool. And the Mishnah over there doesn't mention the case of slime because you're not going to be matmen because it's going to break the kli, the pot that you're trying to keep and maintain the heat over Shabbos. Now, the next category the Mishnah speaks about is machikin es hazroyim v'samachreisha v'chulu, regarding things that cause a rupture of the ground that's going to damage the wall, like seeds and plowing. Those things you have to distance 3 tvachim from the neighbor's wall. Well, that has to gemar zroyim regarding the case that the Mishnah mentions regarding seeds, but tebikli mishem machreisha. But you have to first plow before you plant. So therefore, even without planting, it still would have to be distanced because of the plowing that you did beforehand. So why is it mentioned as a separate category if our Mishnah already mentions the case of plowing? Says the Gemara, but Mapelisyat, we're talking about where he planted without plowing, where he just digs with a hoe. It doesn't go as deep as when there's a plowing process like when you do with oxen. He just plants by hand. That is where you won't have the plowing. That's where we're saying even just for the seeding itself, you have to distance 3 tvachim. So now the Gemara asked the other way. Machresha, regarding plowing, but typically Mishum Mizrayim, what do you mean? Generally plowing is that, so then you're going to plant. So you're already mentioning planting, what do you have to say plowing? Says the Gemara, B'chavish Leilon is, no, the case the Mishnah is discussing is where you're plowing for trees. Where there were trees here for many years already. Now he's just coming to plow underneath them to make it better, to make it better for the tree that's already extant. There's not going to be any planting. Even so, the plowing that you're doing cannot be within three tefachim of the friend's wall. But now the Gemara asks regarding the planting, but typically Mishamaya, but what you need to go ahead and constantly water the seeds that you planted. And therefore, since it's not possible for planting without water, so why do you have to say the case of planting? But we already mentioned in the Mishnah the other category of the moisture that you now have near a wall, that itself is going to be problematic. So why do you have to say even in the case of planting? You can't do it just because of the water. You're going to have to water the planting. So the Gemara, no, Tana be'Eretz Yisrael koi. The Tana in the Mishnah is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, "Nevarim l'mtar hashemayim tishtemayim." For the rain from the heavens is where it drinks water. They don't have water to irrigate. They have just rainwater from Shemayim. So therefore, there the planting is going to be the only problem because he's not going to be watering. It's water from heaven. He's actually not going to be watering what he planted. Now that the Gemara asked, "Lememr dizroim," is that really to say that planting seeds as we continue to medbeis letzdadin kumishtarshi, that it goes ahead and actually creates it takes root. And therefore, it takes root on the side, and therefore, it's going to weaken beneath the wall of his friend's wall, and it's going to ruin the foundation, because that's the halacha that's the saying. So you have to distance three tefachim. You can't be right next to the wall when you're planting, because the planting, the roots take root, and it causes a rupture in the ground and gets softer, and it's going to go underneath his wall and cause a rupture to the wall, to the foundation. So it sounds like that when you plant seeds, that it takes root on the side. And that asks the Gemara of Atzinam, but we learn the Mishnah Masechet Klaim as follows. The Mishnah says, "Hamavrich es agefen." Now the term mavrich is like the pasuk in Bereishis Chabdal, "V'yavrich hagemalim," which means to kneel, to bend down. Which means by being mavrich, you take a grapevine, you bend it down when it's still connected to the ground, and you dig it down and you plant it into the ground, the head part of this vine, you plant it down. Then it goes underneath, and then it'll come out somewhere else and make a new plant, and then you'll be able to cut it off from that original vine. So says the Mishnah Klayim, if someone's being mavrich the geffen, so if he's doing this ba'aretz in the ground, you know, specifically we're talking about a singular vine, meaning to say that there's no problem about having seeds of other kinds like wheat, which is generally that's the halach of Klayim, which would create a problem of what's called irvuv, where then it cannot be even in the proximity of the vineyard. Now the reason for that is because the halachas of klai hakerim, of klai, of forbidden mixtures with a vineyard, is only if there's at least five vines, which is two opposite two, and then you have the fifth one coming out like a tail. That's the halacha of klai hakerim. That's a problem even in a larger area of like dalet amos, which is in its proximity. Here we're talking about just a singular vine. So there's no problem for klai in that context. But says the Mishnah, im ein al gaba offer shloisha tefachim. But if when you dug down this vine, and now it's underground, and it's going to come up, let's say, somewhere a little bit further down, and it's going to pop up a new vine over there. If you don't have at least three tefachim of earth on top of the vine, which is now buried underground, lo yavi zera alaha. You're now going to go ahead and plant a different seed, let's say, of wheat on top of where that grapevine is buried, so that it shouldn't, that seed of, let's say, wheat shouldn't nourish from the grapevine which is underneath it. So if this three tefachim, fine, but if not three tefachim, where it's going to nourish from it, then it's a problem. Now, but Tani Allah, and we learned in the Brice regarding that Mishnah, but you could plant, even if you don't have three tefachim above that grapevine which is buried underneath, you could plant on either side of it. So ask the Gemara, you see that even though you're planting, it's not going to take root on the sides. It's only exactly where it's planted. So on top of it, you can't, because then it's going to nourish from it. But on the sides, you could. That seems to contradict the halacha of our Mishnah, where we're saying that planting, you can't plant right next to the wall. Why not? Isn't it going to go only straight down? It sounds like from the Mishnah that it's going to go to the sides if it's with and up to an area of three tefachim. But from this Mishnah, Masechtas Klayim, what the Braisa explains, it sounds like it doesn't go to the sides. Because if it would, then you wouldn't be able to plant seeds of, let's say, wheat on the sides of where that grapevine is, because then it's going to nourish from it, because you don't have earth more than three tefachim on top of it. So Amar B'chaga B'shem Rabbi Yisi explains, he says, you're right. It doesn't take root to the slides, as we've seen that Bryce explained that Mishnah Masechet Zikayin. But the problem of why it's forbidden to plant seeds within 3 tefachim of a neighbor's wall is b'mineishim achlidin es akarka, because it weakens the ground near the wall, meaning in the place where you're planting, u'malan afr tichuach, and then it brings up soft earth, which that soft earth there goes and creates a rupture to the wall, to the earth that's on the side of it. So you're right, the seeds themselves don't take root on the side. But since it's right here, and this earth right here where the seeds are planted it gets soft, that getting soft causes the other earth to get soft. That is even on the side, and therefore it's going to cause harm to the foundation of that guy's wall, and that's why you cannot plant within 3 tefachim of the friend's wall. Then the Mishnah continued. It said other things that you have to distance 3 tefachim from the friend's wall. That a person cannot put urine within 3 tefachim of his friend's wall. Now, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara quote said, Amar Rabbah Babachani says, Mutu la'odim lahashtin mayim. A person is allowed to pour water, which is a term, a proper term used for urinating, but tzad kais l'shechavera, on the side of his friend's wall. And he proves the chzib, it says, Apasim alachim alav, it says, Bechrati la'achav. Hashem says that I will cut off achav and all the elements of him, which are mashtin bekir, which the Gemara assumes it means the old males who they urinate by the wall. The utzer and all that he has stored away, the azim and all that he has left out in the field, be Yisrael amongst the Jewish people. So you see, says Rabbi Babachana, that when he calls the males of his household mashtin bekir, those who urinate at the wall, obviously that's how people usually do it. You see that you're allowed to go ahead and do that. And that, as the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that said clearly not like this. It says v'smira glaim in akayis shlosh tefachim, that you have to distance urine from the friend's wall 3 tefachim, because it's acidic and it's moisture, it's going to ruin it. You have to distance 3 tefachim. So you see clearly not like Rabbi Bachana, and that says the Gemara no hasam b'sheifchin. The Mishnah was talking about when you take a urinal which is filled up and you pour it down, that you can't do right next to the guy's wall. That you give 3 tefachim. But if a person is just himself is urinating, that's a Rabbi Chana. You could do right at the side of the friend's wall. And that the Gemara continues asking on Rabbi Baba Chana. The Tashema, we learn in the Brice that says, L'yishbach adam mayim mitzad kosel shechaver. A person is not allowed to, what's called, spill water at the side of his friend's wall. Elam ken hechlik mimen gimot tefachim, unless you distance 3 tefachim. You see, you cannot urinate right next to it. So the Gemara, no, hasan nam b'sheifchin, there's also talking about pouring the entire content of a urinal, but for just a person to urinate, that you could do right by the wall. The Gemara continues asking, Toshma, learn the Brice, it says clearly, lo yashtin adim mayim b'tzad kosel shechaver. A person is not allowed to be mashed in water by the side of his friend's wall. Well, that clearly that has to be talking about by mahashtana, which is the term of urinating. It's not like the other terms which it says that you can't pour the water. You cannot. You can't put the merig lime, which as you can say, oh, it's talking about a bowl full of it. No, here it's talking about the term of yashtin, which is you cannot urinate at the side of a friend's wall. Elim ken hirchig min the gimel tefachim, unless you distance 3 tefachim. Now, qualifies the brisa ben de barmu, and we say this because levenim. If it's a wall made out of bricks of clay, which clay is basically mud that dries up in the sun, which that from water, from moisture, could dissolve, and therefore the whole wall could come crumbling down. But a wall made out of rocks, bricks made out of rocks, is b'chdei shelo yazik, that you have to urinate by distance, as long as it's not going to harm the wall. But comment, how much is that if the wall is made out of rocks? It's tefach. It's a tefach because then the urination is going to moisten the ground near the foundation of the wall, and it's going to make it crumble, not because like by the bricks made out of clay, because then actually the clay itself from the moisture gets undone. Here it's just because the foundation is going to get weak. So it's only a tefach. And Vishal Tzuma says the Braisa, and if the wall is built on top of bedrock, where you don't have to be concerned about the earth getting soft and getting undone, then it's mutta, then you're actually allowed to urinate right by the guy's wall, again, which is going on the seifa, which is if it's a wall made out of rocks, because it's made out of clay, then even if it's on bedrock, the wall itself is going to come undone. But when it's made out of rocks, where the wall's not going to happen, and the problem would be the earth, but if it's bedrock, then there's no problem in either one, then you could urinate right there. But one thing says the Gemara, Tiyuf to Rabbi Chana, refuse Rabbi Chana, where it says clearly, you're not allowed to urinate right by the friend's wall. It says the Gemara, Tiyuf to, yes, it's a refutation of his halacha. The halacha of our Mishnah Meraglayim is not just Sheifchin, but it's actually even to urinate. Now, that the Gemara asked, but Rabba b'chonu k'ra kama. But he brought a pasuk that seems to indicate that that's how people usually do. That it says that mashtin b'kiru, and describing a male, it was saying by those who urinate by the wall. So the Gemara, no hasim hachi kama. Now, this is what the pasuk is saying. Afila midi didarki lishtun b'kiru, even something that it usually urinates by the wall, says Hashem lishabiknili, I'm not going to leave from the household of Achav. What is that? Not a human, not a man, but rather a kalba, a dog. A dog urinates by the wall, but a man doesn't because it's forbidden to urinate within three tefachim of someone else's wall. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion of our Mishnah, which Tosfos says the reason why the Gemara brings this topic over here is because the Gemara on the next daf is going to ask from the case of our Mishnah of Zroyim, of planting seeds, that since it's harmful for the wall, so ultimately you're going to take it away. So regarding these halachas about, as we'll see from the halacha of Shmuel, where if something's going to be taken away, then we don't consider it as if it's there. Which Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, he says the name of Shmuel as follows. Rokik, which is a thin, soft wafer, regarding a case of, if let's say that we're talking about the wafer is between two houses, that sheer wall. Now, in between the wall, in the wall, there's an opening of a tefach. Now, moreover, one of the houses has a dead person in one of the houses, and since there's an opening of at least a tefach, the tumah goes and breaks through that hole, into the other house, and now both houses have a halach of tumas oil. Anyone that's in the house of either one of these will become tameh. Now, but let's say you plug up the hole. If you plug up the hole, then the tumah stays in only where it's in that oil, in that home. But since there's a wall that's being chaitz, that's separating, it will not go into the other hole, into the other home. Now that's a Shmuel, that if let's say in the hole that's a tefach, you put in a wafer, so now it takes some space, making the hole into less than a tefach, says Shmuel, einem emait b'chaloin. That will not diminish the measurement of a tefach of spreading tumah into the next home. Why? Because since the wafer is fit to be eaten, so a person is not what's called not mevatlet. He does not consider it non-existent, and that to make it as if it's part of the wall is you're going to end up taking it at a later time. You're going to want the wafer, and you're going to take it away. So although right now it does take up space, and now there's not a tefach of space to transport the tumah from one to the other, we don't consider it as if it's bottled there, as if it's nullified over there. We view it as if almost as if it's not there, as if you would take it away, and therefore the tumah still spreads from one home to the next. That's Shmuel's halacha. Now the Gemara just asked, "My Ibri Rakik, why did Shmuel say it's halacha only by a thin wafer, a fellow of a nami, even a thick wafer too? Just say a wafer. Why say specifically a thin wafer?" Says the Gemara, "That loy meboya kama. You're right. We didn't have to say. In other words, loy meboya ava. We don't have to say Shmuel's halacha by a thick wafer. Kiven de ichazi le mevatle, since it's fit, meaning it's a piece of cake, so it's not going to get ruined over there. So therefore, you don't make it as part of the wall to say, oh, look, the wall doesn't have a hole of a tefach, and therefore that would be obvious. Aval rikik de mamis, but regarding a thin wafer that, since it's thin, it would get ruined from the moisture of the wall that's there, and it's very thin, so the whole thing gets saturated with moisture. Eime batul mevatlis, I would say that the guy is nullifies it. He says, I don't need that wafer anymore, and therefore he leaves it there, and therefore it should block up the hold of the tefach, kamash b'lan, that's a chiddush Shmuel, that no, since ultimately it's still fit for consumption, people will take it away, and therefore we don't consider it as if it's blocking up the hole of the tefach, and therefore the tumah will spread into the other house too. Now the Gemara asks, v'tebik le'dahav le'davar shu mekabel tumah, but forget about the fact that it's not going to be bottle, even if, let's say, a person would be mevatel, it says, I don't need it, and he wants to keep it there. Still, it's something that could acquire tumah, because every food item could be mekabel tumas eichlin, and anything that contracts tumah in the chaitz b'fenei tumah cannot act as an interposition from tumah. So why do you have to say because not mevatlet? Even if it was mevatlet, even if it nullified, it says I want to keep it over there, it still wouldn't work because it's a food item. The food item cannot block off tumah from being transferred. It says the Gemara shenilish b'mei peres. Now we're talking about where the wafer was kneaded not with water but rather with fruit juices, which actually did not make the food item susceptible to tumah, because the halacha is that a food item does not contract tumah unless it's first prepared with one of the seven liquids, for example, water or wine or milk. There's other Yad Shach Adam, which is the mnemonic to remember the different types of liquids. So here it's with fruit juices, so actually it's not even susceptible to Tumah. So if it would be bottle, actually would block up to Tumah. That's Shmuel's halacha, that since ultimately one will take it, therefore it's not considered bottle, and since it's not bottle, it's not going to block off the Tumah from one house to the next. On this halacha, Shmuel, the Gemara has Meisvei from a Mishnah Sechtes Alois. The Mishnah says, Kupa Malei Tevin. Someone has a box filled with straw. Not one that one drinks, but that's the refuse of the wheat stalk. Or V'chavetz Malei Gregris. Or if he has a keg filled with dried figs. And which Rashi points out, obviously we're talking about here, as we'll see, that the figs were not prepared yet with a liquid, so it itself would not be Mekabel Tumah. And same thing applies for straw. So if one has a box full with straw or a keg full with dried figs, Hamunachim Machaloin, that's put into this window, into this gap that's between two homes. So says the Mishnah, so Ryan, we see, Kol She'ilu Yunatlu, we see that if you would take away the box or the keg, V'cheilin Tevin V'gregis Lamed V'ne'atzman, and the straw or the dried fig would be able to stand there in that window by themselves, then Chaitis, and then we view them as blocking off the Tumah that is, even though the window is a tefach, but since these take up space and they're not makabel tumah, the straw or the dried figs that were never moistened yet, so then we view it as if it blocks off the tumah. Vimlav in chaytetzin, but if not, if it wouldn't be able to stand there on its own, it's only standing there because the box is holding it, and the box could balance over there, so then it would not be chatzitza. The reason for that is because the only thing that's maintaining them over there are the boxes and the kegs, and the box and the keg is not chaitzis because they're makabel tumah, because they're a kli. A kli is makabel tumah. So if they could stand there on their own, so sans the box, these things will block it off. But if they only could be there because the box, and the box itself is makabel tumah, so therefore it's not going to block off the tumah from going from one home to the next. Now, this the Gemara asked on Shmuel, but v'tevin chazil behemtoi. Shmuel's whole halach of this rikig was based on the fact that a person is not mevatel something because it's fit to be used, where by the thin wafer, someone would want to eat it, so he can't consider it as a chatzitza. So then how do we understand? So we said that if, let's say, the straw would be able to maintain over there, even without the box holding it, then it would be chatzitza. But why? It's not batel, it's not nullified over there because it's fit to be used for his animal, and the person wouldn't be mevatel. So the Gemara, no, the Mishnah there is talking about besaria, by straw that already rotted, that decomposed, where it's not fit even for one's animal. So it's therefore a person would be mevatlet. On that the Gemara says, but chaz latina, but it's still fit to be used for clay, for cement, and therefore a person would not be mevatlet because it'll use it for production of bricks, as we see in the Torah by the Mitzrayim, by the Egyptians, they made them use straw. Says the Gemara, no, the isbe koitzi, there are thorns in this straw. And the way they used to make the clay with the straw, where they used to step on it with their bare feet. And since if there's thorns, they're not going to be able to use it, therefore it's not even fit for making bricks out of them. But it's still fit for using as fuel. You could take the straw and use for a flame. So if a person, since it's fit for something, it has some utility, so you're not going to mevatel it. So the Gemara, no, but mesun we're talking about by moist straw. So therefore it doesn't even have utility for a flame. On that, as the Gemara B'chazal has to guzzle, but it's still useful for when you have a large barn fire, but then even something like moist straw could be used to fuel the fire, and therefore it does have utility, and therefore you wouldn't be mevatlin, and therefore how does it work as a chatzitz according to Shmuel? So the Gemara, no, has to guzzle ishkeach. A large flame is not something that the person usually has. When does he usually need a bonfire? And therefore, again, the person would be mevatlet because he doesn't think, oh, I might need it for a large bonfire, and that's why it could be used as a chatzitza. But you're right, if it had any utility, like Shmuel said, like the rikik, then it would not be batla and it wouldn't be able to be used as a chatzitza. But that thing was on the other case, so that was regarding the straw. But gregris achazile, but dried figs are fit for someone to eat, which again, as Rashi explains, all these questions, as we'll see continue in the next daf on Shmuel, are because we're talking about things which are fit to take from this, where it's trying to block up a gap, let's say between two homes with the wall, for a later point in time, and therefore it shouldn't diminish the area of the chalain, of the hole between the two homes. So here the dried figs, how would it be a chatzitza if it has a utility where you could eat the dried figs at a later point in time? So Amashmuel, he says, no bishis rifu. We're talking about where the dried figs became wormy, so it doesn't even have a utility to eat it. P'chintani rabbi ravu, it's talking about bishis rifu. It's talking about where they became wormy. Now the Gemara just asks on that Mishnah, so it's not difficult on Shmuel, this Mishnah Masechtas Alos. But once the Gemara introduced the Mishnah, the Gemara asked, Hai chavis, this barrel, which we're saying that it has the dried figs inside of it, hey chidami, what's the case talking about? And that is either puma labar, if the opening of that keg is facing outside, meaning towards the house which the dead person is not inside, so then we continue on top of chav from aleph, he gufa techetz. It itself should be the interposition from the house that has the dead person to the house that doesn't have it. Because the kli cheres in mitamim megaboy, an earthenware vessel, this keg which is made out of earthenware, does not contract tumah from its outside, only from its inside. And since the inside is actually blocked off, it's only the bottom part of it, the outer part of it that's facing the house with the mess, the kli does not become tumah because it's kli cheres, and therefore it itself. So forget about that. You're saying that only if they could stand there on their own, then we're going to say that the figs will block off the area of the wall because, again, as we explained, because it's wormy, it has no utility. What do you mean? The keg itself should block it off. So the Gemara, Ela Demi Puma Legav, must be talking about a case where no, the opening of the Kli Cheres is actually facing inward to the house with the mess, since that goes inside the airspace of the Kli Cheres, which therefore it becomes Tamei, it itself cannot be Chaitzes. It would only be if the figs themselves could balance over there, and then they would be Chaitzes. Or Vibayisema, or if he once says the Gemara, Lo Ilm De Puma Labar, no, it could even be talking about where the opening of the vessel is facing outward. And what are we talking about here in the Mishnah Masechet Tzolos? We're talking about a barrel made out of metal, which metal, unlike earthenware, could contract tumah even from the outside, and therefore it does become tumah because it's in the airspace of the home with the mess. And therefore it would not be chaitzis, and therefore it would go through to the other home. It wouldn't block off that area of the tefach. It's only, again, if the figs themselves could be there and balance and stay there even without the keg that's holding it, then it would block it off, again, which is not difficult on Shmuel, because although usually dried figs have utility and you'd eat it, here it's somehow that they're wormy, and therefore you have no use for it, and therefore you would be mevatlet, and therefore it would be chaitzis from the tumah from one home to the next home.